Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, last week I began to speak about how to bring to birth the vision of God in your life. And let me just review for a minute the essential point that we made that last time. And that is the fact that when God came down to the earth to look at it, it was formless and void, but that didn't change his mind about what he wanted to do. That is, why there were problems externally. Inside the heart of God, internally, there was a plan, there was a picture. And God crystallized those plans, those pictures, those ideas into words. And the words came out in the first instance as, "Let there be light." And the Spirit contained therein, which is powered by the visions, the ideas, the plans, the Spirit gathered the things that were on the earth, and they responded, and there was light. And when God saw that light, he said, "It is good." And the reason why he said this light is good is because it's in exact conformity with that which he had in mind. And I from there began to explain to us that that's how God created us to be. That is, in life, we'll come into situations where things are bad. We'll come into situations where we look and say, this economic situation is without form and it is void. We'll come into situations of political formlessness and voidness. All right? And then we'll find that darkness is everywhere. And God says, it is not the time to start complaining about how bad things are. That let your spirit move upon the situation. Let your spirit incubate what is happening. And then from the depths of your heart, bring forth a solution that I have already planned there. We said that Moses, before he built the tabernacle on the earth, he saw a pattern of the tabernacle which existed in the heavens. God showed him that pattern on the mountain. And when he came down, he began to build, and God said, make sure you build according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. That is, before anything comes into being on the earth, first it exists in the heart of the people that God has planted it in. God takes a piece of his vision for Nigeria or for Ghana or for any country that you might be in, and he puts that piece in the heart of somebody. And he says, go down to the earth and make sure that you build it according to the pattern that I have put inside your heart. And that pattern begins to manifest in the heart of the person as dreams, as ideas, as visions. And the person says, look, I have a vision for this. I have a vision for this. All of us have heard portions of the great speech made by Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. All right? He had a dream of an America where white man and a black man will sit side by side, and there will be no reason for discrimination based on the color of their skin. He had the dream of every black man in America having the same opportunities as a white man and not being held back because of the heritage of slavery that was behind him. Are you getting the point? And then eventually those dreams began to materialize, and for all intents and purposes, the laws of that country has outlawed discriminations. The laws of that country has made it a crime to discriminate against anybody because of the color of his skin. That is because God put that idea in the heart of somebody. So I said, in Nigeria also, we have dreams. We have a dream of which our police force will be one of the best police forces on the earth, in which communications would be up to date. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, one crime is committed in one place. In 5 minutes, all the police posts around have gotten all the details of the fleeing culprits. These things can be done. It costs only a little bit of money. We have a dream in which when a crime is committed, police in Nigeria will actually go there just for fingerprints and not just arrest 100 people that happen to be passing near there, though they did not go near the scene of the crime. Are you getting my point? We have dreams that these things will happen. We have a dream that our roads will be repaired at night while we sleep, so that when we come during the day, it's not road closed and you know everything must stop because you want to carve out one small pothole. That our potholes will be noticed while they are just sinking parts of the road and repaired. We have dreams that one day all we have to do is pay bills. We will not even know that people, the light can go off. Are you getting my point? Like somebody told me once, I was reading the story about somebody, a man trying to teach his children about what heaven is like. being a Nigerian, of course, you start using solutions to the current problems as a description of heaven. Told the children that in heaven, they don't take light, water flows all the time, and all of that. So the man said this, maybe he was saying in passing, and then one day, he decided that he was going to take his children abroad for a holiday. And they went there. The first day, they didn't take light. Second day, they didn't take light. And the little boy noticed that light and water has been constant all the while, and things have just been going on very smoothly. And then he remembered that his father told him that before you go to heaven, child, you have to die. So he woke up in the morning, ran down to his father and said, Daddy, please explain to me, when exactly did we die? Because right now, we are in heaven. Are you getting my point? So we have dreams that heavens can be created also in Nigeria. And that is a fact. I'm saying again to us that these things exist in the hearts of people. And one of the things I'm doing these days is to pray for those who have heard speak. Paul will say that when I heard of your faith, I did not cease to give thanks and to begin to pray for you. I've heard young men, young women have visions of building great enterprises. And primarily the vision in their hearts is not so that they will be blessing themselves, but so that they will be make an impact in their generation, so that they will eradicate things like joblessness, so that they will eradicate things that can be eradicated according to the power of the vision that God has given to them. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And that's one thing I'm going to go on into today, because we are talking about how to birth the vision of God. First, let me describe the vision of God. Because sometimes people wonder, you talk about visions, how it is. Now, visions, the way I'm using it in these teachings, is not just that you dreamt, or you slept and you dreamt. It's not just that you fell into a trance and you saw a great sheet descending from heaven. No, that's not necessarily what a vision is. A vision is a strong idea in your heart that the Spirit of God has ignited therein. There is what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ, which everyone that has believed in him has. That Spirit is a solution-giving Spirit, because you will see that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that those who believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And that's something that characterizes the visions of God. It's always a framework for the blessing of people. It's always a picture in which many people are blessed. God called Abraham. He said, follow me and I will bless you. I will bless you so much that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That is, the vision of God for Abraham was not, Abraham, you will have a son. That one is good. That was satisfying the desire of Abraham. But really, the vision of God for Abraham was that Abraham would be so blessed that everybody connected to him would be a blessed person. And let me say this to you as a matter of spiritual truth. What God did when he told him, look at the skies, amongst the things that Abraham saw. Now, I believe that you have watched movies and you have seen aerial views, you know, helicopter filming of large parts of maybe Europe and America, those built-up areas. Now, Abraham was essentially a nomad. He lived in tents, okay? He did not build houses. Yet God showed him pictures of those things. He saw great buildings, great enterprises. He saw the military machinery of a country like the United States. And God said to him, so will your descendants be. That these are the things I will bring out of your bowels. Abraham said, if that is so, then I will follow this God and follow him till I die. The day God said that, give me Isaac. I want you to kill Isaac. No problem. As long as those visions were still there, the strength to carry through was found in the heart of Abraham. You know, 2 weeks ago, I ended the discussions on what to do in the time of affliction by talking about the power of this vision. That is, when God gives you a vision, actually, he gives you strength. Are you getting my point? You will find that you'll be able to take a lot of beating. You'll be able to take a lot of problems and a lot of injury because of your vision. I remember many years ago when the late MK Abiola was still the owner of the football club, Abiola Babes. When he wanted them to win the Challenge Cup or one of those cups, you know. I remember the finals then. I didn't watch it. I'm not much of a football fan. But he promised each one of his players, a car, plus a certain amount of money, and insured each one of them those days to the tune of 1 million naira. So that what he was saying in effect is, please, forget yourself, all right? Get onto the field. Play like your life depends on it. When the people had visions of the car, are you getting my point? When they had visions of the money, they saw, even if I died, my children will have 1 million naira. And those days, that was a great amount of money. My children will have 1 million naira to take care of them. They played like their lives depended on it, and they won. Though narrowly, they won. That's the power of vision. The Bible said the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. What is that spirit? That drive for that goal. That drive for that vision. Come on, that thing took all the beatings of life. It bore all the infirmities that came as a result of the injuries. That's how the visions of God work. Now, but what I'm trying to define for us this evening is what actually makes up the vision of God. Now, I was talking about Abraham, all right? That's how I got into that discussion. Now, in Abraham's case, God said, the blessing is not just for you, but it's for all the nations of the earth. If your vision is just for how I'll build a great house and buy big cars, and when I'm driving through town, everybody will be shouting, hey, 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 he's passing. If that's the kind of vision that you have, your vision is the vision of Satan. Are you getting what I say? That's not what I'm talking about. If your vision is just how you begin to oppress people, and one day you two will become a governor, a minister, or a legislator, and then no policeman can harass you again. Listen to me. Your vision is satanic. It's the visions of people like you that have not allowed us move forward up till now. Because the visions are actually, they are visions of limitation. Are you getting my point? Because when you attain such positions, if God gives you the avenue to open doors for people to go beyond you, you don't want it to happen because it will obscure your own fame. It's what the Bible calls the pride of life. And these are the reasons why people don't move forward. And these are the reasons why societies don't develop. You are getting the point I'm making. But what are the visions of God? The visions of God is that I want to do something that it will no longer be heard that there are homeless people in this area, or that people are getting ejected from their houses because rent is getting so high that it is outpacing their increase in income, that every woman can sit as queen over her own home, knowing that this house belongs to my husband and I. Those are your visions. That children will not wake up one day and the father will say, we have to move out in a hurry because the landlord has finally gotten an eviction order. And you get what I'm going to say? You have such visions that of making housing affordable for many people. And it's not just the way, it's just the final result, but things that you want to do in the process of achieving it. Listen, wealth is a reward. If you bless 1 million people, God will make all of them give something back to you. That's what we call payment. Eventually, you will find out that you will be richer than the 1 million people you helped. Because you were helping them, God will make them give back to you. There's a principle in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It said, with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back to you. Now, that principle we use in the spiritual form a lot. And that is true. It's spiritual. If you give spiritually, God will cause all grace to abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to all good work. That is true. But again, it works in the area of commerce. Are you getting my point? If Bill Gates gives Microsoft Windows to 1 billion computers, each computer returning to him $5 means the man has earned 5 billion. Are you getting what I'm going to say? If Bill Gates gives Microsoft Word, all right, to 100 million computers, each computer giving $10 back to him means that the man has received $1 billion in income. That's just the way it works. It's his principle of life. I told it last week that moral laws, business principles, they're actually derived from spiritual orders, from spiritual laws. Are you getting my point? So if you are really going to be wealthy in life, it will not be because you sat down and tried to acquire money. Sometimes when I see people trying to teach principles of wealth, once they focus on the principle of wealth, it's how to get money, not how to create wealth. I know that they have missed the point. I don't even try to learn it because I know that eventually the thing will collapse. You can decide that, look, this is how to quickly make money from this sector. Listen to me, eventually those your money-making machinery will collapse. Are you getting my point? It's what the Bible means when it says, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. That is, when you build principles on selfishness, when you build principles on what self we get, the Bible said that it is grass, all right? And eventually, the thing will collapse. When you heard that there was a stock market crash in America many years ago, or even the latest one in the dot-com crash, you know that it was built on selfishness. People were just driving the things up so that they can get out of it. It was not built on creation of wealth. Now, because there's a difference. People who create wealth are generous people. People who create wealth are people who are moving the whole society forward. The creation of wealth is actually what gives people enduring prosperity. Are you getting my point? That's when your prosperity is not dependent on the stock market index. That's when your prosperity is not dependent upon the price of the dollar. That's when your prosperity, material prosperity now, is not dependent upon the price internationally of crude. No. It's dependent upon the number of lives that you have blessed. Are you getting my point? Because Job, when he was explaining something in Job chapter 29, he said that there was a time when the rocks poured out for me rivers of oil. He said that what happened at that time was that the mouth of the widow blessed me. I sought out the cause of the orphan. That is, then there's a problem with that the orphan had. I helped him with it. He said, therefore, the mouth of one about to perish blessed me. That is, there was a spiritual force that was directing blessing towards me. Are you getting my point? That it is as your wealth, it's as the things you are doing impacts the lives of other people, that spiritual forces are generated to bring wealth towards you. You are getting the point I'm making. You know, just to give a few examples in that area, there's a woman I've used as examples many, many times. And incidentally, the principle I want to explain again from her life is actually applicable in the lives of many people. You know, this thing about wealth is interesting. This woman, Mary Kay Ash, founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, all right, who was judged the greatest female entrepreneur ever in the United States of America, that's sometime last year, okay? The motto for the company is enriching women's lives. She started a company not primarily to sell cosmetics, but to make the lives of those who work for her become very rich. All right, that was the reason why the company was started. Now, this thing I want to say applies to not just to her, but to many people. Now, while pursuing that goal, all right, she blessed many people. Hundreds of thousands of women were blessed. Eventually, millions of women were being blessed. Not just those who were using her products, but those who were marketing them. Then, of course, you will have thought that that means she had a lot of money. And indeed, it did. The woman had a lot of money. Except that when I read in between the lines, I realized that it was not just that God used to give her money. What happened was that allowed her to express the dream, the vision of God that was inside her heart. Then when she expressed it effectively, God now decided to reward her. So you find out that at a point in time, she invested in one business and forgot. And her son called her one day and said, Mommy, why is it that everything you put your hand to turns to gold? And that your return on that investment in the first month is over $100,000. I realized, therefore, that she was not making that much money from the company she created. But God, seeing the faithfulness in her heart with which she went out to bless multitudes, began to give her financial returns from many other sources that we never heard about. Her name is tied to the company she used to bless many people, but the financial prosperity and material blessings that God poured upon her were coming from different places. Now, this applied to many people. Somebody was telling me the other day about one man, a great transporter somewhere in Nigeria, how he made it so easy for many of his colleagues and competitors, interestingly, to buy brand new vehicles, all right, on hire purchase. But then you see, that's what he was known for. Yet people didn't know how many billions of naira this man was now controlling. He was into real estate business. He was into many other businesses. Are you getting my point? That was bringing him so much wealth. But we only knew him for the one that our lives were being touched directly every day. Listen, let me say this to you. If you want to bless people in life, I'm trying to describe the visions of God. Don't focus on amassing material wealth for yourself. Focus on building something that will bless many people. Don't focus on what you can get. Focus on how the thing can be sustained so that the lives of people might be blessed. Let me just say this again to us. Listen, good places don't come down from heaven. They come down from heaven indirectly. That is, the people that create them got their visions from heaven. That's the only way they are created. The people who have received the visions of God create those things. All right? So I'm describing that the vision of God, while you know a vision is of God, is that every time it comes to your heart, it's always people-oriented. It's always society-oriented. It's always promoting the knowledge of God, because it's very important. Promoting godliness, promoting righteousness. It is never primarily about you. It is not, if I do like this, then I'll be known in the whole earth. Listen, if knowing you does not make a direct positive impact in the lives of people, then it must never be a goal. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? All right, it's not about popularity. If you say, I do like that, then I'll have a lot of money. That's the reason why you will not have it. The Bible says that the one with an evil eye runs after money or wealth, but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. those who really are working with the visions of God, you will see that the vision is always tied to impacting the lives of people. Because I said something, that these visions, these ideas were first in the heart of God. He wrote them in the heavens, and then he put them in the hearts of people. They are not your visions. They are the visions of God. Are you getting the point? Now, what characterizes the visions of God, we will see, using Abraham as an example, reading from John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave to them. Your visions, therefore, if they are going to be visions of God, or this is how you will know they are visions of God, is always about giving. It's always about giving. It's always about giving to people. Are you getting my point? What do you want to give? It might be quality education. What do you want to give? It might be cheap access to telephony. What do you want to give? It might be cheap access to the internet. What do you want to give? It may be very good roads. What do you want to give? It may be easy acquisition of personal houses. What do you want to give? It might be easy acquisition of personal cars. What do you want to give? It may be microfinance for many young people and people of low net worth that want to go into business. The last Nobel Prize given out for peace was given to Muhammad Yunus. All right? Why? Because the man created a system by which many poor people in his country, I think Bangladesh, they were able to access small loans and thereby become productive. Are you getting my point? And this man went specifically at the group that nobody gave loans to. One, low socioeconomic class. Two, women amongst them. Are you getting my point? Three, these are people that have no collateral. That is, they took your money and they went away. You had nothing more than reporting to the elders of the village to do. And you are getting my point? You can't arrest the person because arresting him will not turn to money. Are you following me? But the guy went into that with a lot of risk, but he knew that if I can do this, these people will be blessed. That's why they gave him the Nobel Prize for Peace. Let me explain again. That is why it is difficult for the person that does not have the love of God in his heart to receive the vision of God. That's just the reason. It's so difficult because it's actually God that ministers this vision. That is why if you don't have your own vision or you are not sure it is of God, it's very simple. Get on your knees tonight and pray. And say, God, what is that blueprint that you have written inside my heart to bless people with? Because as I go on, I will explain some things about this vision of God. It's important you understand that the one that God has placed inside your heart, it only belongs to you. Nobody else can receive it. Nobody else can fully understand it. They will only be able to apprehend it when you have manifested it. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 139, he said, thou didst form my inward parts. He said, I will give thanks to thee, for I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. What was he saying? He said that you formed my inward parts in a particular fashion. You have made me wonderfully. What was he saying there? That there is a specific reason for which I was created. There is something that I can do that nobody else can do like me. There is something you wanted to achieve on the earth, therefore you sent me. He said, the Lord has sent me, and his spirit. Jesus was reported as having said, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. He said, but a body you have prepared for me. That is, God created the body. I mean, listen to this. If, let's assume my name is Mercedes Benz. I want to transport royalty from Enugu to Lagos. All right, in my car. That is what I put inside. Because this car is supposed to give comfort to a man who deserves it. Are you getting my point? But let us assume that I now decide that, look, this car is going to drive through Iraq. I put something else inside. I make sure it is bulletproof. I make sure that even if you have to drive through where grenades are going off, at least it can withstand and allow the people inside to survive. That is, I prepare a body according to the purpose that I have in mind, all right, for that particular car. The body of the machine is prepared according to the function that it's supposed to perform. Therefore, when God was creating you, he made you of the right height, he made you of the right complexion, and incidentally enough, he gave birth to you in the very right country. You get my point? That's why I'm very, very proud of my passport. I do not wish to change it for an American one. I love the fact that it's a Nigerian passport. I don't desire to have a Cameroonian one. You follow my point? Because a body that has prepared for me, and like I explained this before I closed last week, that manifesting that vision, expressing and manifesting that vision is actually a responsibility. It's a duty that I owe to God. in this life. Are you getting me? That judgment is based upon whether I expressed it or I did not express it. Judgment is never based, most of us think, on whether I sinned or I did not sin. Let me say that again. Don't think that you will be scored highly when you get to heaven. That, look, there were 5,000 girls around you. You did not sleep with any one of them until you got your own wife. Hey, clap for him. Are you getting my point? He said, oh, you were in government. Listen, of all the billions of dollars passing through your ministry, not a fraction of it accidentally found itself in your account. Then you clap. And then they say, okay, look at this boy. He never told a lie. He said, oh, put his mouth on a very high level. He's a mouth that never lied. Listen to me, oh, that is not what God judges. On the day of judgment, no, absolutely not. You say, are you saying those things are okay? No, I am saying that if you do those things, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That is, the kingdom of God is not in heaven, it's on the earth. You cannot manifest the power of God. That's what he's saying. If you're a thief, if you're a fornicator, if you're an adulterer, if you're a cheat, what is happening is that you are cutting off the supply of the Spirit. Remember I said something about 2 weeks ago, that the strength to survive in the time of affliction, it comes from the Spirit of God. Ezekiel said that the Spirit entered into me and stood me up on my feet when he would speak to me. That is, when though I was weak, I needed the strength of God to go through my affliction. When Jesus was in the garden, what happened was that the angels came with the strength of God and strengthened him. It was not his own strength. Therefore, a man walking in sin, walking in iniquity, will not have that supply of the Spirit to be able to do the will of God. Paul explained it, that seeing that you have such promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is, if we don't have holiness, if we are not walking in the fear of God, then we will not be able to receive the promise of God. Are you getting my point? Now, receiving the promise of God is how you can manifest the visions of God in your life. That's how you can do the will of God in your life. Listen. That's why when God wanted to send people into the lake of fire, he did not only send the liar and the idolater and the adulterer, he also sent the fearful. That is, those who, because of fear, they were not able to obey God in life. Those who, because of fear, they couldn't manifest the blessing that God placed inside them for the rest of mankind. They couldn't manifest it for people to be blessed by it. That's the issue. I'm trying to say something about sin. Look, sin is a poison. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like an athlete who wants to start running. He said, please, before I start this race, do you have anything for me? And you now give the man Valium, 20 milligrams, and he swallows it 30 minutes before the race. How is he going to win? When he's going to get up and start feeling sleepy, or the man gets up, you give him tobocurarin just before the race, his muscles won't work. The muscles won't work. That's a muscle poison. It will not work. And that's what sin is. You want to go out in life, listen, no, you must avoid iniquity. That's what we're talking about. But let me get back to the matter of judgment. But the day of judgment, God sees that, look, I sent you to go and do something. Look, I mean, listen to that parable of Jesus Christ. It's in Luke chapter 19. This ruler went out and gave 10 men, as my Bible said, like we talk about talents. He gave 10 of them to 10 of his servants, one to each one. One yielded tenfold, another one came back fivefold, and one came and said that, I have gone to bury your money. I did not lose any part of it. Now, get my point. This man came back and said, your money is intact. I have not lied. I have not committed adultery. I've done nothing. I have brought your money back to you the same way you gave it to me. At the end of the day, what did the man say about the man? The man's judgment was not based upon whether he did something wrong or not, but because he was not fruitful in what he was supposed to do. But it's another thing I want you to understand, that you cannot walk in the way you are supposed to walk if you are busy doing iniquity. You will find that one out in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said in verse 46, he said, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. That is, he had given them commandments on what they were supposed to do. Take care of the house, okay? Give food appropriately. Take care of the things that you're supposed to do. Now, verse 48 says that, but if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now listen to this. You will notice that the reason why this guy ended up in the wrong place was because he was not able to do what he was supposed to do. Are you getting my point? And the reason why he couldn't do it was because he was busy doing what he wasn't supposed to do. He was busy eating and drinking with drunkards. He was busy beating the other slaves, treating them cruelly. See, that's what sin does. It prevents you from manifesting the purpose of God. I hope you bless you.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.